Probably Adonai is used the most in the Old Testament, Adonai. And we just need to get a hold of that fact that he is master and he is Lord. Everything else fits in really well if we just understand the order of God's authority and where we fit in that. Because we as human beings and selfish hearts and all that kind of thing begin wanting to have some clout with God and want to tell God what to do. And we invert this thing of prayer, that the prayer is us telling God what we want instead of us finding out what God wants and asking for his strength to do that. A Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And by the way, the Lord does provide, and he provides miraculously, and he's able. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals, the Lord who heals. Do you believe in divine healing? I certainly do. Amen. I certainly do. Do you believe in divine healers? I don't believe so. I don't believe so. But I've been wrong before, all right? But divine healing is from God, and a sign of healing was given to establish the church. Guess what? The church got established in the early first century church, and the Word of God got established as the foundation and as the indicator of truth, to where we don't need signs to prove or to indicate truth anymore. And so those sign gifts, they tended to wear off and things. But have I seen God heal in answers to prayer? Absolutely, I have. Have I seen God heal in people gathering together, according to James chapter 5, anointing with oil and laying hands on them? And have I seen God work miracles? I have seen that, folks. I have seen that. I've experienced that. Now, let me caution you about something. Just because God chooses not to heal you does not mean that you lack faith. It could, but doesn't necessarily mean that. Because just make sure and talk with the Apostle Paul about that. Because he prayed and asked God to heal him, and God had given him power to speak in the name of God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to heal people and raise Eutychus from the dead and all that kind of thing. But God chose not to heal the Apostle Paul of something. So don't think for a moment that somehow you haven't done something right, because sometimes it's God's plan and it's God's will for us to suffer for a while. Sometimes that is his plan. But God is the healer, and so don't get mad at me, please. I don't mean to harm or hurt your feelings or whatever. There's a lot of people that claim to be able to have the power of healing upon them. Make sure and understand that where the power rests, on Almighty God. That's where the power rests. And I will share this and just to kind of dig myself out of a hole here for a moment with some of you. There was a time in West Virginia I was pastoring, and there was a dear lady, and she had had surgery. I may have shared this one time. She had had surgery, and she came home. She went back to the doctor, and the doctor said that after checking her out a second time, said that where they did surgery, now she has MRSA, and they're afraid the MRSA has gone into her bloodstream, and this is life and death. Life and death. And she was going to have to go to the hospital the next morning. This was Sunday evening. She was going to have to go to the hospital the next morning, and was going to start a bout of all kinds of medications and trying her best to save her life. She had two precious little daughters, and so the deacons gathered together, and we met there at the house, and the pastors, and they were praying, and I was going to pray last. And as we were anointing with oil, and each one, and as each one prayed, I would put a little bit more oil on her head each time. That's just symbolic. It's just symbolic. It's not something that there's healing power, miraculous power, in some special oil or whatever. But it's symbolic of the Spirit of God and the power of God upon that person. It's an expression of our faith in Him for that. Well, as I was doing that each time, then I'm thinking, you know, when you're getting ready to pray, you want to pray correctly, right? You want to pray in the Spirit and with the understanding also. You want to pray in accordance with His will. So I'm listening to the last couple men pray, and then it's going to be my turn to close in prayer. And I'm praying. I'm saying something like this to the Lord. Lord, I want to be a blessing. I want to pray in accordance with your will and that kind of. And he, it was just strange, Brother Bob. Strange. The Lord said in my heart, pray this. Thank you for healing her. I said, well, Lord, he said, that's all. Just that's it. I mean, these other guys are praying some great, powerful prayers. Thundering prayers and marvelous and that kind of thing. And the Lord said to me, said, pray, thank you for healing her. Thank you for healing Rhonda. In Jesus' name, amen. That's what I want you to pray. That's it. Okay. All right. And so I put the oil on and I said, thank you, Lord, for healing Rhonda. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I didn't say anything more than that. I got in the car with Hope, and she's at home. Got in the car with Hope, and I said, I told her what happened. I said, this is the weirdest thing. I've never had that happen before. And she went to the doctor on Monday. They ran test after test after test after test, and they said, the MRSA is gone. Now, I want to tell you something. It was not the oil, and it was not the men, and it was not the prayers, and it was certainly not my prayer. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who heals. So I'm telling you that God is in the healing business, and he's able to amaze the doctors. Whether it's cancer or whatever it may be, he can do it. If he doesn't, then he's promised to give grace in times of suffering. Jehovah Nissi, the last time we looked at this, the Lord is our banner. Lord's our rock, in him we hide. He's our banner. Banner over us is love. And then Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. The Lord is peace. I'm so thankful for this study. Now, here in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 11, I mentioned Hannah this morning in the message. And this is the account where Hannah, who is barren, who has not had a child, and her dearly beloved husband, Elkanah, has taken another wife, and the Bible does not shy away from speaking what has happened. It is accurate in recording both righteousness and wickedness. Okay, right and wrong, it records accurately. Just because it records it does not mean it condones it. Okay, for someone to say there are lies in the Bible, I would say, yes, I agree with that. There are lies in the Bible that are correctly recorded. Lies. Okay, so we're not promoting bigamy here and all that kind of thing. The Bible says in verse 9, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. And now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou would indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And we read about Eli and thinking that she was a woman of Belial and all that kind of thing, and thought that she was drunk, and because she was so absorbed in her prayer, overwhelmed in grief, pouring her heart out to God. Listen, please, a contrite and a broken heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. When you're broken and contrite before God, sometimes that is our expression of our desperation of faith. And that was, now notice, I want you to notice here how the verse started in verse 11. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, O Lord of hosts. This is Jehovah Sabaoth, Lord of hosts. Now, when you think of Lord of hosts, I want you to imagine, and please forgive this illustration because it comes far beyond, far beneath the meaning, okay? But when we talk of the President of the United States of America, he has another name, he has another title. His title is also Commander-in-Chief, okay? Commander-in-Chief. That means that when he gathers those generals together and he says, men, we have to act on something. We have to do something. Go ahead and bring it back, guys. I'm not there yet. I faked you out. My bad. Be there in just a second. whenever he says we're going to attack, okay, he gives the order. Hopefully that is backed by the Congress and Senate and the will of the people and all that kind of thing. But he is the commander in chief. Now I want you to multiply that times 10 trillion. And the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth, he commands the righteous spirits, the angels of God, and one angel would take out in just a few moments just hundreds of thousands of soldiers. We see that in the Old Testament. And she prays, and she could pray for in a lot of names of God, but this is the first introduction to the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth. That's what she prayed. No one else, before 1 Samuel chapter 1, no one else prayed that prayer. No one else called on his name. Flip over, please, while you're turning to 1 Samuel 17. While you're finding that, the slide that I had next for you, I went to YouTube and I watched the September 14th, 2001 prayer service. Memorial service there at the National Cathedral, and there in that in that picture that you saw, go ahead and put it up, guys. There were multiple presidents: President Ford, President Carter, President Clinton, President Bush one, President Bush two. It was well attended. I was amazed. I really was amazed. As people were loading, this was almost 18 years ago that this happened. How many of you all remember? Did you see any of this? Remember any of it? Okay. As people were coming in, it was interesting. I'm not sure who the news commentator was with CNN at that point. But beside that news commentator that's introducing so-and-so, now we see so-and-so, now we see so-and-so. Beside that news commentator lady, I don't know if it was Connie Couric or whatever her name was or whatever, but beside her was Franklin Graham. And I was shocked, Brother John. I was shocked how many times Franklin Graham in that 25, 30-minute time period before the beginning of the service, 25 to 30 minutes, they didn't put a muzzle on him. I mean, he gave the gospel over and over and over and over again without apology. And I couldn't believe that they were not, you know, finding some excuse to take him off the mic. And he was naming the name of Jesus Christ over and over. And we need to turn to him in salvation, repent of our sin. And we need, I mean, he just boom, 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 over and over. I was just amazed. It's the kind of thing we don't hear today. No matter what news agency you turn to, you're not going to hear that kind of stuff usually. But our nation was crumbled and on its knees. And yes, do you remember the Senate and all of them as they, Congress and on the steps there, the Capitol building, and they sang, God bless America. All that kind of thing. What's interesting to me as I watched it, They sang a couple of songs congregationally. They sang, "Oh God, our help in ages past," and that's a great song to sing, and for us to turn our attention and our eyes back to God. They also sang, "A mighty fortress is our God." The words go like this: "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal." It goes on to, they go on to sing two more verses. "And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him, his rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him." They sang the last verse, but they skipped the second verse. They did not sing the second verse. I want you to see what the second verse is. "Did we in our own strength confide, our strength, our striving would be losing. were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. You ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same. And he must win the battle. They dropped that verse. They wouldn't sing that verse in the program. There were too many people, too many liberals in there. And I think they didn't want to offend the Muslims that were there in the service. And they didn't want to offend the Jews that were there in the service. They didn't want to offend. Listen, folks, it really doesn't matter when you go into eternity what religion badge you're wearing. There's only one Creator. He is Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. He is Lord Sabaoth. Jehovah Sabaoth, Lord of hosts. You know, that gives us a better picture. You read the book of Revelation, and you see the multitude which no man can number. And they said, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. 1 Samuel 17, let's look at it, please. Let's see here. Start there in verse number 42. And when the Philistines looked about and saw David, Philistine Goliath here, he disdained him. 1 Samuel 17:42. For he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. Verse 43. And the Philistines said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. By the way, folks, let's, as Christians, let's have a clean vocabulary. That is the thermometer of our heart, is our mouth. It really is. And be a bright light amongst those that we work with and live around and our family and all that kind of thing. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth. Profanity is a futile attempt of a failing mind to express itself forcibly. Philistine cursed David by his gods. Verse 44, and the Philistines said to David, come to me. Come on, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Watch this, verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth, he said, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. And you know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. He loaded up that missile launcher, put that pebble in there. Boom! And I don't know exactly what happened. I'm not so sure that David had the accuracy and David had the power and David had the strength and all that kind of thing, but I know that he had the Lord of Sabaoth. And there could have been an angel that just took that little stone and whoop, just knocked it right on in. As the last thing it entered, Goliath's brain right there. He went down. I believe that he was dead. But in order to prove it to everyone, the Bible says that David took Goliath's sword out of his sheath and he cut off his head. Listen, folks, I am thankful that God is the victor and he is the winner. He is Lord of Sabaoth. He is the Lord of hosts. Before we go, I want to share this one last one with you. If you would turn with me, please, to Ezekiel 48. Ezekiel chapter 48. I want to paint the picture for you here in Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 48, verse 35. This is the last verse of the book of Ezekiel. And in the book of Ezekiel, God is speaking through Ezekiel and telling the people of Israel that they're going to be enslaved. They're going to be conquered by the Babylonians and taken away. And that the glory of the Lord has departed from Israel. That his blessing has been removed. And he's telling them this. And then he introduces another name for God. The Bible says in verse 35, the last statement from God through Ezekiel, it was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. Jehovah Shema. The Lord is there. What's the importance of this right here, you say, preacher? You see, they were always thankful that if they go to to Jerusalem, to the center, and back before when they were in the wilderness in the tabernacle, and in the center of the camp, there's the tabernacle, and they could sense that the presence of God was with them. The glory of the Lord, the Shekinah glory was there. And whenever the high priest would go in once a year, he would go in and would minister and present the blood as the atonement sacrifice for the sins of the people for another year. And they knew that the presence of God was there. Listen, please, we need the presence of God with us. Isn't it kind of refreshing as a child to just know that Dad's in the house, that Dad's there? I was in Cleveland, Ohio. I was 7th grade, 8th grade, something along that line. That's when we lived in Cleveland. And my father had taken us downtown to his office where he works. And even in those days, Cleveland was kind of a rough area. I mean, I'll just be honest with you. It wasn't necessarily the roughest. Detroit was a terribly rough area. Chicago, terribly rough area and things. But Cleveland was right in the rankings. And I was leaving on a trip to go to my grandmother's house and was going to go to the Jersey Shore and spend some time on vacation. And I'd saved up money. And back in those days, I had right about $28 in my pocket, in my wallet there. And you know how it is, you know, youngsters, and they don't necessarily, are not the most responsible people in the world. And somehow, some way, when I was getting out of the car, perhaps it was just loose in my pocket or whatever, and I did not realize, but when I got out of the car, my wallet obviously fell out of my pocket. Guys, have you ever just been walking along and just, you know how you do, just kind of hit your hip and just to check and make sure it's there, you know, you're not, you know what, it's there or not, you know. And I felt that it wasn't there. And my parents, they were walking on up, you know, and on up to, I ran back to the car, I ran back in that direction, and as I ran back, I saw some young folks, and of course, they're young folks, but a lot older than me, and a lot bigger than me, and they had seen that brown wallet sitting there on the sidewalk, and they picked it up, and they were going through that thing, and I walked up to them, and it seemed like that they were Goliath, you know, seemed to me, and they looked pretty rough. Brother Frank, I walked up to him and said, "That's my wallet." I mean, I'd saved up that money. That's my wallet. And they had the cash in their hand and the wallet in the other, and going through the wallet trying to, and they said, "Oh, this is yours?" "No, I think it's mine." "No," I said, "that's mine. I got my name in it. It's mine." And they threw it at me. I said, "That money is mine too." "No, this money's ours." And I was all alone. My parents hadn't realized that I had run back. And I remember, I don't know if you remember this, Mom, or not, but they took off and they went another direction. About that time, here comes my dad, and he said, "What's going on? What happened? What happened?" And I told him. At some point, I began not even worrying about the money anymore. At some point when I was with them, I was worrying about things more important than just money. But when my dad showed up, my dad was there. He was there. Everything is okay. You know, when God shows up, when the presence of God is there, and when he's with you, and you acknowledge his presence, and you're right with him, And it's as if he almost puts his arm around your shoulder and you sense his love. Jehovah Shammah, he is there. You say, well, where is he? Where is he? I'm going to share one verse with you and then we'll close. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for you're bought with a price. So everywhere you go, the Lord is there. Everywhere you go, you have the presence of the Holy Spirit with you. You know our problem? We don't acknowledge him. Our problem, we want to live our life the way that we want to live it. We don't want to acknowledge him. We don't want to ask for his direction. We don't want to ask for his wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. But we don't ask him. Not unless it's serious. Not unless it seems like it's life and death. Then we got to go to God. Otherwise, I'll take care of it, God. Listen, folks. It's the minor steps that send us in the wrong direction. We ought to live in a constant acknowledging of God's love, his presence, communion with him, because he's there. He is Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. That's something the Israelites did not have. I'm sorry. They did not have the promise. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. They didn't have that. David, in fact, he prayed in Psalm 51. He said, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. The Holy Spirit rested upon people as they were obeying him and following him and being guided by him and submissive to him. The Holy Spirit would rest upon them. But then whenever they chose their own way, the Holy Spirit would be removed, just as he was removed from the temple. You remember Eli, we talked about Hannah, Eli and Hophni and Phinehas. Named the grandson Ichabod. The glory of the Lord hath departed. That can happen in a family. It can happen in a church. It can happen in a believer. That the glory of the Lord, the power of God, the direction of the Lord, the wisdom and the protection and the blessing of God. Yeah, a believer, yeah, you have the Holy Spirit with you all the time. Holy Spirit sometimes could be over in the corner, somewhere in the shadows, because we have pushed him out of the way. The Lord is there. The Lord is there. So he told the Israelites, I close with this, he told the Israelites that even though that the glory of God has left the temple, even though that there is a new temple coming. And Ezekiel was looking ahead under the power of inspiration of God and looking ahead to the new Jerusalem. But you see, we've got a tabernacle. We're not in the new Jerusalem yet. There's a new temple coming, and Jesus is the light thereof. But right now, we're just walking through a wilderness right now. And we are his tabernacle. We are his temple. We are his dwelling place. And so let's acknowledge that everywhere we go, the Lord is there. Everything we do, we ought to seek his guidance, his love, his wisdom, his power. That's what we're going to do tomorrow. We're going in for to the hospital, and Hope's going to have, God willing, we're praying for an outpatient surgery. I told someone today, I said, you know what a minor surgery is? A minor surgery is something that somebody else is having. There is no minor surgery. You know, not when it's talking about a knife. But you know, in the morning, the Lord will be there. Amen. He'll be there. So friend, I don't know what you're going to face this week, but he's there. Amen. He's Jehovah Shammah. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, I don't know the burdens that people are carrying upon their heart here tonight. Lord, I pray that you would assure them of your love, assure them of your grace, that you are Lord of hosts, Jehovah's Sabaoth. That is your name. You are the commander in chief of all the realm. So, Lord, we love you for that. There is nothing too hard. And when Hannah prayed and she called upon the one who has all power, Lord, you gave her Samuel. She kept her vow, and you went ahead and gave her more than she asked for, and she had other children as well to cherish and love. You're just that kind of a God. And Lord, I pray that as someone goes back to their home tonight and they're alone, perhaps their loved one has left out of their life. Perhaps a spouse has turned away and they're now alone. Or perhaps their spouse has gone on to glory. I pray that as they go home tonight, that they would find that the Lord is there. The friend that sticks closer than a brother. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. As the piano plays quietly, would you please come to the Lord Jesus? He's there. He's there. There might be something that you need to come and pray about. We open the doors of opportunity for you to come to Jesus. You see, He's right there within whispering range. If God's dealt with your heart about something, if you need to lift up something in prayer, this is your chance. I invite you to come. Time after time, He has waited before, and now He is waiting again. We'll wait here a few moments. See if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how He wants to come. Lord Jesus, thank you so very much for the gathering that we've enjoyed, the fellowship around your word. And I pray now that you will help us to serve you, to love you, to seek your best, your will, your goal for our life. And Lord, I do pray for many people that would love to be here. Some may be watching by way of live stream. I pray that they would sense your love and sense that you are there, right there with them. Lord, many be here if they could. Lord, I pray that you would comfort them. Now, Lord, I pray that you would meet with us again on Thursday and on Sunday, on Palm Sunday. Lord, as we remember, by way of the Lord's Supper, the great sacrifice for our salvation, may it be a great day of our worship with you, I pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.